I have asked Bob, our chat host, to read the first and second paragraph on page 7.
Hi, my name is Bob. I'm an alcoholic. For most AAs, membership in a home group is one of the keys to continuing sobriety. In a home group, they accept service responsibilities and learn to sustain connections with other recovering alcoholics. The home group affords individual AAs the privilege of voting on issues that affect the fellowship as a whole. It is the very basis of the service structure. While many AA members attend other groups as well, the home group is where they participate in business meetings and cast their vote as part of the group conscience of the fellowship as a whole. As with all group conscience matters, each member has one vote. The role of the General Service Representative, or GSR, is essential to the purpose of general service. Bill W. wrote in Concept 1 of the 12 Concepts for World Service, "The AA groups today hold ultimate responsibility and final authority for our world services." The role of the GSR is essential to ensuring that groups can fulfill that responsibility. Only when a GSR keeps the group informed and communicates the group conscience can the conference truly act for AA as a whole. This communication is a two-way street, making the GSR responsible not only for bringing forward the group's voice, but for taking back to the group conference actions that affect the fellowship's unity, health, and growth.
Thanks, Bob. Remember, if you have a question at any time during tonight's presentation, please send it to Billy directly through the chat. You'll have until 5 minutes to the top of the hour. The time is now yours.
Thanks. I'm Billy. I'm an alcoholic. Welcome, everyone. Most importantly, especially for tonight, I'm a past GSR of the Westside Young People's Group a long, long time ago. I'm going to be talking about some things tonight from a practical level and maybe from a level of the difference in AA today from when all this stuff was originally written and how that's brought some challenges today. But I have a couple of announcements because tonight we're going to do chapter 1, which is titled The Group and Its General Service Representative. But I want to throw out some maybe things that people should be familiar with long before they read this chapter. Number one, the AA group pamphlet, especially regarding what we're reading tonight. It is impossible to really comprehend, if you've looked at tonight's chapter, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages before we get to the questions. You have to become familiar with the AA group pamphlet. It's like the owner's manual for Alcoholics Anonymous. This is not a concept study, but it's hard to talk about the GSR in groups without talking about Concept 1. And it's hard to talk about Concept 1 without talking about who's really not included in Concept 1. Mind you, this chapter does not say the AA member. This chapter does not say AA meetings. It says the group and its general service representative. In AA today, so many people don't know the difference between a meeting and a group. They have no idea. Our whole structure is out of whack and has been for many years now because of this whole meeting and group thing. It was always meant that one member, one vote. And when we say one member, one vote, we mean one vote at your group. That's it. You don't get to vote in other places. And just think about this for a second. And when you go to your next assembly, just take a look around and remember this discussion we're having today. Most quorums for doing business are based on the number of people who serve in that position. The quorum of the General Service Board is based on 21 people, because that's how many trustees there are. If there's one sick and not serving, or one has passed away, maybe there's 20. But we always know that number is 21. It doesn't change. Not so for all of your assemblies. See, we've had to kind of make our own rules for quorum so that we can still conduct business. I have never been to a AA assembly in any part of the United States and Canada where the quorum is not based on the total number of registered groups in that area. It's based on the total number of people who appear at the beginning and register to be at that assembly. Like, they set the quorum number right there. Like, just think about what I'm saying for a second. If your area has 200 groups, right? And let's just say to do business in your area, let's say that your area says that we need 2/3 of the groups present to do business. Which would mean you need 132 groups present to do business. But we changed that a long time ago in AA, because we had too many meetings disguised as groups. And so we don't use 132 anymore. We don't use the 200 number. Instead, we say, oh, 80 people who can vote at the assembly showed up. So 2/3 of 80 will be the quorum, as long as there's 48 people here. Think about what I'm saying for a second and its devastating effect on Alcoholics Anonymous. We don't have trustees that don't show up. There's always 21 there because that's their job. Depending on the number of staff, there's about 135 voting members of the General Service Conference. 93 are area delegates. Nobody doesn't show up to the General Service Conference. Everybody shows up. Every once in a while, we have a delegate who gets sick, and the alternate, it's two last-minute notice, so every once in a while. One crazy year, we had two delegates show up from the same area. And what did the conference do? It sent them both home. Said, we're not sorting this out. Your area can sort it out. But my point is, at the bottom of the structure, 21 out of 21 are there. On the AAWS board, 9 out of 9 are there. At the General Service Conference, 135 out of 135, they're there. They're ready to vote. Once you go above the General Service Conference in our inverted triangle, the structure is completely broken. We've accepted that groups don't show up. So instead of making the quorum always the number of registered groups, we've created these own rules for ourselves of, oh, we'll base it on how many people register by 9 o'clock on Saturday or 6 o'clock on Friday night. We don't have decisions made at the board level where quorum is not met and it's based on all 21. We don't have decisions made at the General Service Conference where quorum is not 130, you know, two-thirds of 135. But in our areas around the United States and Canada, we are regularly conducting business when barely 30% of the groups that are registered in that area are present. Barely. 30% on a good day. Areas that have 2,000 groups have 150 showing up at their area assembly. And we've accepted this as normal and regular. And so it's really weighs on my conscience a lot why we've accepted so much that the structure, because people complain about the conference all the time. Let's face it. Conference was just 2 months ago. People are complaining about what the conference did. And people complain about the board hundreds of times a day. But think about that. At least they show up. At least they do what they're supposed to do. I kind of think we did this out of fear. That area chairs and area delegates are fearful that if they had a quorum like the conference and the board do, they'd never be able to conduct business. Think about that. And what do? We keep giving meetings group numbers. We keep picking on active groups if they talk about this issue. But I just want to talk about it so that you know at a certain level, we talk about the groups are in charge. But at the board level and the conference level, if there's not 66% of all the voters present, no business gets conducted. It's shut down. So I would say to anyone who's new to service or helping people, please take the time. You don't have to be an expert on the concepts. But please take the time to explain to new people in AA the difference between a meeting and a group. And please take the time to explain to them why we only belong to one group. Now, we can go to as many meetings as we want. We can even go to meetings at other groups. But explain to them. And you know what? If you don't believe what I'm saying, do this little test. There's probably some big convention in your area, roundup convention, whatever you call it. Go to that convention, especially if you're one of those conventions that lists all the home group, the people put their home group name on their name tag. Take a good look at people you know and what name they have listed as their home group. My experience is most of the names that are written as home groups are meetings. They've written on their name tag the name of a meeting they go to. And the breakdown and the effect on Alcoholics Anonymous is incredible. But it doesn't matter how good your GSR is if you're not on the front lines of Alcoholics Anonymous with the new people that you work with, explaining to them the difference between a meeting and a group. How about when you go to meetings in the area you live in, and like you see somebody who's the treasurer at a group on Monday nights, the GSR at a group on Wednesday nights, and the speaker seeker at a group on Saturday nights? I can't be the only one who runs into this. It's impossible that I am the only one. The devastating effect that that has on Alcoholics Anonymous is hard to measure. that we were supposed to be a group level based fellowship. And that per concept one, Bill and Bob's old role were left to the groups. And sometimes I see this, I'm like, now wait a minute. We've created three basic camps of AA. This is what I see where I live. Camp number one, those people fully entrenched in general service. Those groups that are fully entrenched in general service. That's group one. Then we have group two. Group two is like all the people who are like, oh, like they are fully entrenched in First Legacy Recovery, conferences, conventions, roundups. They are active members of Alcoholics Anonymous. And sometimes we get people who are a member of group one and group two. They're really into general service. They're at every convention and roundup in their area. But then we have this third group in AA. These are these random, often meetings that are not attached to anybody. They hardly go to any conferences or conventions, they're members. They're not connected to general service. I'm so happy to see lately that people who are handling committees like CPC, cooperating with the professional community, and treatment, and even corrections, even though our literature doesn't do a good job of it, a lot of individual areas are raising the bar about sharing experience with the people who do that service. Wouldn't it be nice if when someone brought a panel into a treatment center or was a speaker at a treatment center, instead of like cursing a lot and making their story super revved up because they want to be like, have everybody's respect. Wouldn't it be amazing if a speaker that was doing that or a panel told the people in treatment about the importance of a home group? Why can't we spend a lot of time talking about how important and integral the home group is to recovery in Alcoholics Anonymous? I'm not talking about recovery and other 12-step fellowships. And the problem is, in my view, that if you talk about things like this, people think, oh, you're an extremist. Oh, you're a heretic. Oh, don't pick on those groups that don't participate. Well, why do we give them so much power? Why do we give people who don't participate so much power in Alcoholics Anonymous? Why do we have DCMs who visit meetings to get their feedback on conference topics? That's not in the group in concept one or in this chapter. Meetings are none of the business of a DCM. Really, none of the business of a general service area. Like, I'm not saying meetings are not AA. I'm very pro-meeting. But they have nothing to do with general service. Like, if we're going to look at improving the structure, we have to focus on the most important building block in the structure, which is the home group. In that first paragraph there, I'll just read something quick. It says, for most AA members, membership in a home group is one of the keys to continuing sobriety. I don't know. Why do we say that? Shouldn't it really say one of the keys to continuing sobriety is membership in a home group? If you're sober in Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm not talking about if you're just a member of the recovery community. I have great respect for the recovery community. But it's not the same thing as the Spiritual Society of Alcoholics in Action. And then it goes on to say, they accept service responsibilities and learn to sustain connections with other recovering alcoholics. The home group affords individual AAs the privilege of voting on issues that affect the fellowship as a whole. It is the very basis of the service structure. While many AA members attend other groups as well, the home group is where they participate in business meetings and cast their vote as part of the group conscience of the fellowship as a whole. As with group conscience matters, each member has one vote. This has so broken down. Prior, by the way, public service announcement, we don't talk about agenda items here. If you have a beef with the General Service Conference, please see your delegate. So I don't care which way you voted on the plain language big book, or your group did, or your area did, whatever. Not my business. But you know what is my business? How acceptable it is now to go around the group conscience process. I'm sure I'll get an email or two for saying this, but the delegates decided to have a regional information workshop on the plain language big book on Zoom. 1,000 people showed up. 1,000. Okay. They took a poll there. And some of those delegates used the poll as saying, this is how the fellowship feels. We don't poll AA members about conference topics. How many of those 1,000 people that participated in that vote do you think, how many groups were really represented? I'll bet you some groups had like 10 people. Should they get 9 extra votes because they're super connected? How about all the people that just belong to meetings that don't belong to groups? And so this has become accepted by our delegates today that this is how we get a feeling of how the fellowship feels on something. The fellowship never mattered. Members never mattered. Meetings never mattered. It was how do the groups feel? That's what matters. And we can't blame the new people in AA who take like 4 service positions. Because I'm going to tell you what's behind that. You go to a business meeting. Somebody raises a hand. Oh, my sponsor said I need to do more service. You ever hear that line? And so they start taking jobs at everybody else's group or meeting. And then what does that do? That lets members of that group not have to be responsible. Because members of other groups or meetings are holding service positions in their group. Again, I'll say it. The group is the most fundamental unit in Alcoholics Anonymous. And we've spent our way into misery. And then what do we have that's even worse? We have new AA math and a reinterpretation of Concept 1 and Tradition 7. We have districts that are funding groups that can't afford GSRs all across the country and Canada. How is this even possible? This is not political by any means. In AA, each group is self-supporting. You know what I find amazing? And I would ask anyone to ask their area chair or area delegate this question and see what answer you get. Ask them, what is the real average cost for a group in your area to have a GSR? Do they know that number? Why don't we know that number? We know it costs about $8,000 a delegate or voting member of the conference to go to the to have the General Service Conference. Real money. My home group where I live, we've figured out it cost our GSR about $1,500 a year to be fully self-supporting if we want to support that GSR. That's four quarterly meetings a year where we pay for one night, Saturday night, in the hotel for our GSR four times a year. So that's basically $600 right there, just for the hotel. Then it's quite often 4 or 5 hours driving distance in my state to attend in my area. There's two delegates in my state, but in my area, it's usually a good 3 hours to go to the conference. We all know what gas prices are. We have a banquet at my area assembly. Should my GSR have to go out of pocket for the banquet? When a new group wants to form, how come all these AA leaders want to shout from the rooftop that all you need is a resentment and a coffee pot? I have an announcement in my area. All you need is a resentment, a coffee pot, and $1,500 to have a fully funded GSR. That's what you need. Now, if you just want to start a meeting, then your resentment in the coffee pot will do just fine. But we complain about groups or enough contributions not reaching area or not reaching the General Service Board. How can we, when we've decided to fund groups that don't comply with the seventh tradition? That we've started to, you know, I heard a delegate actually use the term welfare. Now, I am very respectful of all economic conditions. And I think I have been a member of all economic conditions, sober and not sober. And I am not here to say or make any judgment. You have your own beliefs about society helping people out. I'm not against that at all. Oh, yeah, and somebody just sent me a message. What about NARASA and PRASA and SARASA? What about the regional forum every other year? Why are area chairs and area treasurers not talking about the average cost for a GSR? Instead, we're driving a tractor trailer over Tradition 7 and saying, oh, another group can help pay your bills, or the district can help you pay your bills, or the area will have a scholarship fund for GSRs. What I'm trying to say is this whole breakdown, it just makes things worse and worse and worse. Now let's talk a little bit about the role of a GSR in a group. If you go every 6 months, which most groups hold elections, and then every 2 years for a GSR, the truth is most groups do a good job of electing a GSR. They really do. They elect somebody a GSR. We don't have a problem electing people to GSR. We have a problem that somehow we've forgotten to tell them what your job is when you're elected as GSR. Our hardest thing is not getting somebody elected as GSR. It's getting them to their first district meeting or assembly. But it's amazing to me because I've been there when it happens. When a group votes in a new GSR and the past GSR never went to one assembly? How is the new GSR going to participate at districts or assemblies if the old GSR is not? And then let's talk about the really great GSRs. We have some incredible GSRs. But think about that time commitment. I'll use my area as an example. I need you to block 4 weekends a year for quarterlies. I need you to block every other year a weekend for SASA. Every other year, I need you to block a weekend for the regional forum. Okay, so we're at 5 weekends a year away from your life, away from your family, away from your job, away from your home group, your local AA community. 5 weekends. We need them right away. And then I won't even go to the every month district meeting. I'll go to the every other month so it doesn't look like I'm exaggerating. Let's add 6 nights or weekend afternoons going to district meetings. So now we're going to tell you we need you to lose 6 weekends a year. We need you to put aside 6 nights a year for district meetings. But we're only going to give you 5 minutes to report back at the business meeting what's going on in general service. And, you know, here's what I want to say. If it only really requires 5 minutes or 10 minutes, then those district meetings and assemblies are a complete waste of time and an insult to taking that much time out of somebody's life. We want you to do service and dedicate and sacrifice. Then we're not going to give you time to report back. It's completely insane. I know how many people are mad about the plain language big book, but it still amazes me. I'm going to read you something. I'm not going to say where it came from, by the way. Let's see. I have to disguise the... I have to describe... I can't even give a hint as to where this is because somebody will go through the off the deep end. Just bear with me a second. Oh, yeah. Here it is. Good morning, Billy. I hope you don't mind me reaching out to you. I heard a comment you made at a recent workshop regarding the approval of the Plain Language Big Book. My home group is the oldest and largest group in the blank area. Okay? Blank stands for one of the biggest cities in my state. Okay? My home group is the oldest and largest group in the blank area, and very few members knew anything about the Plain Language Big Book. How is that possible? I am confused about who should have given a report. Any insight you could offer? This is one of those things where I had to put this away for 3 days before I responded. Because, you know, I just finally 3 days later wrote, I'd be happy to discuss with you. I wrote, send me your number and we'll set up a time to talk. And I wrote, so you said very few of your home group members knew about this. Does your group have a GSR and regular business meetings? We have both. Group Conscience was last weekend, and our GSR reported that he received the conference report And it was the same old thing, and there was nothing noteworthy to report. Well, let me defend his GSR. No conference report goes out before August, okay? And do you want the report after something's happened, or when did your group talk about any agenda items? He writes, I went on and talked to a couple of friends in other areas, and it appears a lot of noteworthy things happened. Yeah, of course. That's what happens at the General Service Conference. But we have accepted this apathy. And one of the reasons I think that we've accepted it is we've built a General Service Assembly system that can't handle the real amount of GSRs. It has to accept the status quo. It would bankrupt the current General Service structure. And I'm not even talking about the meetings that are disguised as groups. I'm just talking about if every group had a GSR who came. And that's why we've made it so complicated. Back 70 years ago, 60 years ago, maybe there were two or three assemblies a year, a couple of district meetings, and attendance was much better. And I'm just curious, I'm going to ask this question with a suggestion. Again, no digital voting, but just with your hand. I'm just curious how many people here have been to an election assembly for your area where a new delegate is elected. Okay. A lot of yous. How many, again, just use your physical hand. How many people who voted that raised their hand and said they've been to an election assembly. For how many of you, the first position elected at your election assembly was the actual delegate position? That's the first election that day. Okay. And think about why we do that. Yes, we need every position, but that is, we want to send a message of how important that delegate position is. And then we usually elect an alternate delegate. And then we usually elect an area chair, sometimes an alternate area chair. Then we elect a treasurer and a secretary and a registrar. And my point is, I can't be the only one who has gone to so many elections at the group level, and the GSR is the last position to be elected, or close to the bottom. What message does that send to the group as to how important the GSR position is? The GSR position should not just be some random person who happens to have 2 years and agrees to put their name on a form. The GSR should actually be one of the most experienced group members with a lot of experience at the group and maybe a lot of sobriety. So we'll continue more next week as we go from chapter one to chapter two, but I want to answer some questions. Probably not a lot about the service manual, but have you seen the decline of AA groups cooperating with Al-Anon? Of course. The old standard of there being an Al-Anon meeting at the same time as an AA group, or Al-Anon's coming to open speaker meetings. Yeah, it's very sad because I'm an Al-Anon son, you know. My mom was a member. Let's see. I have a friend who has over 20 commitments on Zoom for multiple meetings and complains about burnout. Yeah, that's not a question. I mean, that's pretty much. I told him about one group wouldn't vote. He insists it's his recovery, and he needs the commitments to stay sober. Well, let me say a very, very controversial statement. I have not needed a commitment or a meeting in a very, very long time. Do I enjoy going to conventions and roundups and commitments and workshops? And of course, I love going to a meeting and having a bad cup of coffee in an uncomfortable chair. I love it. Love it. But, I mean, to the person who wrote this question, first of all, if that person thinks that commitments are going to keep them long-term sober, then how sad is it that no one has really sat them down and explained what we really have to offer here in Alcoholics Anonymous? Like, we love service, and it's such a way to get out of your ego. But it doesn't replace the steps and the program and the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I hope that somebody will be able to explain that to that person before they realize that they have the wrong answer. Does this mean that only group members should be contributing? No. We're not here to talk about the seventh tradition. I think it's, you're a friendly guest if you put a dollar or two in a basket of a group that you go to because you drank their coffee. I believe that it's the gravy. Money from other non-members is gravy. But if your group can't survive by just on contributions from your group members, you have big problems. I love those announcements. The so-and-so meeting needs support. No, it doesn't. It needs to end. It needs to fold up and let them know that they can no longer be self-supporting. It doesn't need support. I put that in the same bucket of burning desire, right? Like, are we going to ask, does anyone have a burning desire? Or are we going to ask, does someone want to wreck this perfectly great meeting we just had and hold the meeting hostage for the last 5 minutes? I'm just calling it as I see it. My group is so used to a GSR, not GSRing. I love that term, not GSRing, that they forget about my report and I have to bring it up at the end of the business meeting. Yeah, I hope you can tell your chairperson, and I hope that you can make part of your report that maybe the GSR report should be the first thing and get the group's approval to do that. Let's see, GSR from the podium in a district meeting last week says his group has 7 meetings a week and all of them need service commitments filled. Please come be of service. Now, there's nothing wrong with one group having 7 meetings. But if you need other people from the other groups to keep your groups going, then it's not really one group.
All audio and video files on the District 6 AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.